Hi everyone. So there were a couple more questions. One follow-on from the reflections I offered last time around opening to anger as a response to some of the world events that are happening. In particular, the war in Gaza and Israel right now. And the question was about confusion, that maybe, you know, maybe this too is a response in this situation. And so I'll read a little bit of the question. I was thinking that in a situation like this, where it's so painful to hear about what is happening and the conditions are so complex, that it's a useful time when anger is felt to also ask, is confusion present? And then a little bit of a question. It's my sense sometimes in communities there isn't much willingness to say, I find this situation confusing, while it's easy to say the situation is angering and it's natural to feel anger. I feel like it could be helpful to normalize confusion as well as anger. And I agree that this is a very natural response to this situation, the experience of confusion. What I would often say is that confusion is often felt a little less obviously than anger, so it could be buried under the anger. So there's a lot of emotions that can come up in complex situations like this. And they're all conditioned. They're all worthy of respect. They're all worthy of being seen and opened to. So the exploration around confusion, I think, is really, really useful, because it can be, it can be in many different ways conditioned around a response of anger. I mean, I can just think of a few in my own mind. For instance, anger might arise out of confusion. Confusion might arise out of anger, because sometimes anger is based not in what feels like confusion, but what feels like clarity. You know, I'm right, that person's wrong. This side is right, that side is wrong. And so there's, you know, there's not necessarily a feeling of confusion under the anger there, but the anger could result in confusion. It's like, how can these people think this way? I know I'm right. How can people think otherwise? And so that can create, like, the mind is kind of spinning and being confused. So confusion can arise out of anger. I think anger can also arise out of confusion. For instance, a situation I could imagine here is having a lot of confusion about the complexity of this, and having people in your life taking very clear stands and being accused of not being on somebody's side. And it could be like, you know, why aren't you taking my side? It's like, you can't be confused about this. How could you be confused about this? And so there could be anger resulting from being blamed about being confused. So there's a lot of complexity to all of this. You know, there's a complexity of the situation and a complexity of our emotional response to it. And so what I often encourage is, you know, really meeting what's obvious. And so if confusion is what's obvious, you know, that's where you really need to explore. If anger is what's obvious, that needs to be opened to. And then again, with both of these, looking at either anger or confusion or whatever is going on, hatred or frustration or fear, whatever is going on, when there's a sense of, okay, that's what's happening here. What's being believed? What else is happening with that? You know, so that once you've kind of connected with one piece of it, there can be then an opening too. So you might see something else going on with it. So I think it's important to honor all of it. Confusion is a very natural human response in a lot of different situations. And I find actually, in opening to confusion, there can be a willingness to settle back and say, well, okay, I don't know. And it's okay not to know. And maybe this isn't a time for action. If there is a need for action, then then that might be a useful time for reflection. That kind of reflective practice that we offered. Okay, if I don't know, I don't know what how to act here. Bringing the situation to mind and using that reflective practice that we explored, bringing one situation to mind and then looking, feeling into how does it feel to think about taking that action, bringing another situation into mind and how does it feel to think about taking that action. So this reflective practice being not on things that have happened in the past, but on choices that we might make, and how does it feel? What is the impact of that on us? Is there any sense of a clarification, of a discernment that comes into play with various scenarios that you reflect on? So I'd say that opening in any to any of this. We talked last time or reflected last time on how opening to the anger can help to see, what might be discernment inside of it. Opening to the confusion can do the same thing. Opening to fear can do the same thing. So really, I think the power of our mindfulness practice is that it does create the conditions for us to see more deeply into what is here, and then to find a place and to find a some understanding that can support a more appropriate or skillful response to a situation. And then another question, and then I'll open it up. This one, I'll just read the question. It's about investigation. Am I investigating correctly when I investigate? So this is a question. Am I investigating correctly? Question mark. When I investigate, why is this happening? It's not because I was yelled at by a kindergarten teacher, correct? I'm investigating the why to see, is there desire, aversion, delusion that are affecting the experience? Is that correct? Are the answers to the why always related to the defilements? What would an investigation of anger arising over a climate catastrophe, why is this happening, be like? So I think this question is, it's an important distinction about what we are exploring here when we are investigating. What is the investigation the Buddha asked us to do? He asked us to investigate suffering, the causes of suffering, and that being what is creating the conditions of a non or of a what are creating the conditions of a constricted heart that can be released. So not so much about the why of climate change or the why around okay, this is happening because this happened to me when I was in kindergarten and this happened to me on the playground as a child. But what I would say, and so this whole question around investigation, when we look at our experience, just taking this question around the, I was yelled at by the kindergarten teacher. When we have some kind of a situation that's happening for us, we're being yelled at by somebody right now, and there's maybe we have a sense we're responding more strongly than the situation really calls for, and so the exploration, the investigation around that, maybe exploring opening to that. We may, during that investigation, see that part of the reason that we are more activated now is because we were yelled at by a kindergarten teacher. That may come, that may happen, because a memory arises in the present moment while we're opening to our experience. A memory arises about that kindergarten teacher. And we feel into, in that moment, the pain of that, you know, maybe a repeated kind of sense of being verbally abused when we were five, you know, and so the trauma that that could have created. So that piece of information may be supportive to see, oh, my reaction now has been conditioned based on that. The conditioning understanding is more the terrain of the understanding of what the Buddha is encouraging us to investigate. So the investigation is to understand, how is this happening in the moment? So what I would explore is not so much the why of history, but the why of the present moment. So what's happening in the present moment that's conditioning this to arise right now? And some of what's happening in the present moment that's conditioning this to arise right now is a deep kind of often subconscious connection back to history. So sometimes that gets revealed in the present moment. We can see some of that, some of those thoughts or those feelings, maybe not consciously, but we can touch into some of this. Wow, this feels, I feel like I'm 5 years old right now. Wow, what's that about? You know, so there can be a sense of just feeling into what is actually happening in the present moment. So I hope that's kind of an explanation or an exploration around that. I would say the whys are related to seeing conditioning at work. The question here, are the answers to why always related to the defilements? Say the answers to why are related to seeing conditioning at work. Sometimes those include defilements, those whys. Sometimes those conditions include defilements. Sometimes they include external situations. Sometimes they include, you know, they might include, because what's conditioned in our experience, you know, the why of what's happening right now, if it's delight and joy, you know, maybe is a wholesome state of mind. So there's always conditioning going on, and investigating what's happening in this moment is being curious about what is happening in this moment, the arising and the passing, so the impermanent nature of it, the nature of it to be unreliable as something to hold on to, and the conditioned nature of it. That's not an I or a me in here, but it's just a process tumbling on. So seeing the conditioning at work. So that's what investigation is exploring, those the three characteristics. Often when we bring that kind of investigation in, we see the defilements at work. But I wouldn't say that it's always the answer to the why, because the whys can be just kind of the neutral seeing of, oh, this is the conditioning that's unfolding right now. Just seeing it. And then what would an investigation of anger arising over a climate catastrophe be like? And I'd say there it would be, you know, not so much the investigation is not about why is this happening in the world. I mean, that's a useful investigation for scientists to do, for our you know, society to do, that investigation of, you know, how did this happen? I think it can be more useful to look at what can we do from here. But, you know, so the anger over it, you know, looking at the anger over it, it's not why is it happening? The question is exploring what is this anger that's happening, if you're investigating the anger. So the, you know, in our practice, we're exploring where is there constriction, clinging, craving in the heart that's getting in the way of engaging in the world from a perspective of kindness, compassion, equanimity, and joy. engaging in the world from an unconstricted heart, which has a different outcome in the world than when we engage out of anger and hatred. And so the answer for each of us, for instance, because I think sometimes what am I supposed to do about this is the next question that comes up. And that question's going to be that's going to be different for each of us. For some of us, it may be bearing witness. For some of us, it may be going to a protest. For some of us, it may be trying to get elected to government office. You know, there's a whole host of responses to that could be very skillful, that come out of a heart of connection and care, to opening to that anger about climate change and finding an action that feels resonant with the discernment and the kind of the shaping or the conditioning of our being. You know, there's so many different ways we've each been shaped, different ways that we've each been conditioned in our lives. And when we each connect with that heart that is open and that heart of compassion that's open and wants to respond, each of us will have our own unique way to respond. I really got a taste of this when I was in Burma and meeting these very practiced and realized beings in the Sagaing Hills, how different they were. You know, just so many different expressions of the heart that is free and awake. And so find your expression. There's not one right expression, but I really, hope that you have the courage to find that expression from a heart that's unconstricted. You know, when we're motivated by anger and greed, those mind states tell us, they believe there's no way we would act without those states of mind. You know, if I didn't have greed to do something, why would I do anything? If I wasn't angry about this, why would I care? And those mind states believe that. But when we touch into compassion and love and joy and equanimity, that's not what happens. So our heart wants to respond, but there's so many different expressions of that. So yeah, really touching into that place of an open heart. Find your response. Find what means and what's in line with your being in a response. So that was a little beyond investigation, but that's what came up when I read that question.